This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
These football Mondays are only good after losses on Grant and Danny because they're also McLaurin Mondays. Presented today by Chenega Mios, visit MIOScareers.com. If you open positions and apply today, all of our football Mondays brought to you by Chenega Mios. Let's go to the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today. Visit BetQL.com. Let's talk to Terry McLaurin after yesterday's loss to the Kansas City Chiefs at home. We'll get into the Packers trip coming up. He caught a touchdown at Lambeau, the only time he's played there. Hey, Terry, G&D here, man. How you been?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Doing okay, buddy. How you feeling? We got a little scared. We saw you in the injury report this weekend. Just how you feeling after the game?
No, I'm feeling pretty good. I think the athletics trainer staff did a good job of just helping me kind of monitor to make sure I was ready for Sunday. And warming up, I felt good. So there was no setbacks, and I'm feeling good going into this next week.
I'm not trying to even make light of that comment, but your head trainer's gone and his assistant is gone. So, like, who is the training staff, and do you actually know those people, or were you meeting them as they were treating your hamstring?
Most definitely. Mark McCracken is our he's kind of the head guy right now, and it's kind of similar to how what happens when somebody goes down for us on the football field. It's next man up in the training room, and, you know, Mark and I have had a great relationship ever since I've gotten here, and, you know, he's been doing a great job organizing everything, making sure guys – of being taken care of, and you know, obviously they did a great job taking care of me, being, you know, a priority this week. And you know, I've been really pleased on how things have been going while obviously what's been going on with the other trainers.
Yeah, we'll chalk up a win for Mark then, because you were on the field and you looked like yourself. Can you just explain, like, when did you hurt your hamstring, or was it not even a hurt as much as, like, you just started feeling something? And did you always know you were going to play, and then you only missed three snaps yesterday. Were you 100% or close to it? Just give us kind of the state of the union on the hammy.
Yeah, I was 100%. It wasn't more so that I got hurt during this week of practice, but you know, I play a lot of reps and a lot of snaps, and I think our staff does a good job of just monitoring that. I think it's more so just a monitoring thing. As you go over to the course of this season, we're going into week 7 now, and you think about it from preseason to now, that's a lot of reps. So it kind of catches up to you. But, I mean, even for the guy like me who does a great job of taking care of your body, you still have that fatigue. But, you know, I just try to stay on top of things. And like I said, I think our coaches and our training staff do a good job of just trying to monitor my reps and other guys' reps who may be a little banged up. And I was good during the game. Those three plays I was out, those were more just personnel things where I just weren't in on those personnel plays. But I'm good to go.
Terry McLaurin with us here on Grant and Danny. Terry, let's get into a little bit here. Second half, I feel like after that one drive that ended in a missed field goal to kind of start you guys on offense in the second half, you had that 3rd and 2, you know, whatever it was with the quick screen there to Adam Humphries, doesn't get your first down, field goal attempt, you don't get anything. I feel like things kind of turned after that. Do you have that same sort of feeling where you guys kind of couldn't get it going after that one drive and you got 0 points out of it?
Yeah, I mean, I think when we came out at half, the defense got a stop, which was great, and we had the opportunity to go and get points, and we didn't quite do that. So You know, that's how quickly things can change in this league, especially when you're going against a championship championship team like they are. So we weren't able to kind of get capitalize on the points in the field position. You know, they gained momentum and they came down and scored, and then we were kind of playing catch up. So that's just something we've been, you know, preaching on throughout this season, is just how the premium has to be put placed on the possessions that we get. You have to make the most of them, especially when you're going against really good opponents.
Terry, the first half, you guys were fine. I don't know that you played as well on offense as you would have liked. But in the second half, you guys got shut out and held under 100 yards. Did they make adjustments? Like, what did they do differently in the second half to you guys?
Yeah, I think they made adjustments. You know, obviously, we hit them on a big play to Ricky down the field. And, you know, they didn't really necessarily give up too many big plays after that. And they basically made us earn it and work for it. And one thing that just kind of stuck with me is we had to do a better job of just sustaining drives and those long drives, especially when teams are maybe playing a little bit of softer coverage and they're making you methodically push the ball down the field. And we had to do a better job of converting on third down. So I just think it really was a tale of two halves where we were kind of moving the ball decently well, not as well as we would have liked in the first half, but we were still making progress. And in the second half, you know, they made some plays and forced us to really earn it. And, you know, if we want to not have that similar outcome, then we just have to be more effective when we touch the ball.
Terry, on that touchdown you mentioned to Ricky Seals-Jones, it looked like, to my rudimentary understanding of football, but they were paying a lot of attention to you. They were very concerned about what you're going to do. A, kind of was that your experience sort of throughout this game? And do you feel like that's how teams are going to kind of approach you guys on offense here going forward, just not let 17 beat them?
I mean, to a certain degree, I feel like, you know, you can kind of hear on the sideline, 17's in the slot, 17's here, there. And that, I mean, that's nothing new or normal for me. I think Coach Turner does a good job of trying to move me around in the slot. You know, I did some motions here and there. And, you know, just trying to give them a different look to account for me. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, there's obviously going to be eyes on me. And when that happens, guys have to make plays. And I think they did that. I mean, Ricky in that situation. And it's just going to have to continue to do that. But at the same time, when I get those opportunities, when I get a favorable matchup, which I had a few in the game, you just want to try to connect on those. So on that touchdown pass, it was just a really good design. We fed off how aggressive they were playing, and you know, we were able to hit that up the seam and get a big score.
To Terry's point, he was in the slot on 13 snaps. He was out wide 43 times yesterday, and we've even seen him line up in the backfield as recently as week 4 for a snap as well when you look at the breakdown of where he's at to try to get him some looks. I wanted to just clarify something, or at least see if what I'm thinking you said is what you mean. In the second half, you talked about a soft coverage. When you talk about methodically pushing the ball on the field, are you talking about, hey, let's take what's there, let's go 3, 5, 7-yard throws, hit those crossers, whatever, maybe not force things? Is that kind of what they did, is they dared you to just maybe go on 12-play drives and you guys weren't up to it? Is that kind of what you're saying?
I think so. I mean, I think we had some opportunities to hit some plays down the field. We just didn't connect on it. You know, sometimes we were getting behind them, but, you know, we just couldn't connect on some of the deep ball opportunities. And, you know, they were conscious of us being able to push the ball down the field. But at the same time, I think they were, you know, did a good job of keeping things in front of them. And we couldn't quite convert on those third downs, or then we'd get in favorable, you know, situations ahead of the sticks, and then we'd have a negative play. So, I mean, when you have enough of those over the course of a game, they're going to add up, and good teams are going to make you pay, and that's what they did. So I just think, you know, the defense did a good job giving us turnovers yet again, and we just got to continue to try to capitalize on that, because that's how you not only give your offense confidence, that's how you give the defense more confidence as well.
So, Terry, coming into yesterday, the Chiefs had only given up less than 30 points once, and that was in their opener where they give up 29 to Cleveland. They've been scored upon a pretty decent amount. And then, you know, as we've kind of been talking about what happened yesterday, how much of that do you give them credit for playing well, and how much of that do you say, man, we left a lot of plays on the field, or maybe we didn't execute?
I think both can be true. I think they're better defense that people give them credit for. Like I said on the show last week, just because other teams had success hitting big plays on them didn't guarantee that we were. And it comes down to that execution. So we had the looks in certain situations that we wanted, but we didn't execute them like we would have liked. So You know, that's on us as an offense, and we just got to do a better job in practice on really being keen on those situations. And so when those looks come up in the game, that we can really hit them on all cylinders.
What did you notice about how they were covering you? There was an opening drive throw, I think, on the third down. You got behind a couple dudes, and Matthew took kind of a strange angle. Good throw there, and you got a catch and run, or at least a huge first down, and Heinicke just didn't put it on you. And then later there was like a jump ball where you had to adjust, and I mean you had to like work magic with some potions and get gas and order a meal and then come back to the football. It looked like maybe you almost got your hands on it. Like, take me through those two deep shots, because I think those were your only two ops down the field in the game, if I remember.
Yeah, I mean, I think they ran a little bit more cover too, but we saw that on film, which wasn't abnormal. I think obviously Tyrann Mathieu was shading to my side, so if I kind of ran some inside releases, he would try to cut me off, or if I went outside, he would try to play over the top. But at the same time, we still had opportunities. I mean, we were beating the cloud coverage. We were getting one-on-one opportunities. We just didn't connect, and that's the unfortunate part about it. And you know, when you don't connect on those. It's tough because then you have to try to continue to make those methodical plays down the field. And that's very important to be able to try to put 10 to 12 play drives together. But you also want to hit on explosive plays. I mean, I think that's no secret in this league. Explosive plays really change momentum, and it really gives you the things you need to be successful. So I just think we're going to continue to take those opportunities. I think Taylor's not afraid to throw them. Coach Turner's not afraid to call them. It's just on our job to try to make sure we execute them at a higher level.
Terry McLaurin with us here for his weekly spot on Grant and Danny. Terry, what was the mood post-game? Were guys frustrated, ticked off, you know, just kind of stewing in their own stuff? Like, just tell me about it. What were guys thinking and saying?
Yeah, I just think it was more a little bit of disappointment because, you know, even as good of a team as the Chiefs are, I think we had an opportunity to really give ourselves a chance to win that game. And, you know, when you don't capitalize on those situations, it just hurts because then you start second guessing with this and that and the other thing. But you know, it just comes down to execution. I think also what Coach Rivera said, and I would agree on, it was just tale of two halves. We didn't play great the first half, but we were still in a position to win the game and go into halftime having some confidence and momentum. And then the second half, we kind of didn't keep it going. And they're a great team. You got to give them the credit because they made those adjustments. But, you know, if you want to beat good teams and just any teams in the NFL, you got to be able to put two halves together and execute more times than you don't.
Terry McLaurin on Grant and Danny. Halftime's so short that I imagine you never really get any chance to take part in any of the endeavors and stuff at halftime. But I'm sure you heard about all of the, not only the announcement, but the controversy last week with Sean Taylor's jersey retirement. I'm just curious if you had any attachment to Taylor. We're 33 and 40 plus, so you're now several years younger than us. But how much of him you know and what you thought about that?
Yeah, I mean, I know there's a lot going on, obviously, outside of the building of how that was being handled and things like that. And, you know, my main hope was just that he was honored in the right way, that his family was proud of the way he was honored. And it was unfortunate we were in halftime, so we didn't get to see it. So I can't speak to how it went, but hopefully their family was proud of the way that he was honored, because he's one of the greatest, if not the greatest, players in this franchise history, and he deserved that. And, you know, I think I watched him growing up, actually, and I remember having dreams of the NFL. I'm like, man, if I ever get there, I don't want to get hit by him. The first hit I thought about was that hit that he made on that punter in the Pro Bowl. I'm like, man, it's the Pro Bowl. You hit dudes like that. So it's I mean, when I think of Sean Taylor, I think of a guy. There's great players throughout the history of our sport in the NFL, but guys who changed their position, he's one of those guys. The physicality that he played with, the intellect that he played with, the ability to cover sideline to sideline and roam the middle of the field. You had to know where he was at all times, and that's an asset for you as a defense, and it's a weapon. And he played like that, and he played every play, every game like it was his last. And that's always going to be my memory of him.
Did you happen to talk to anybody that, you know, played with or against him? Because, I mean, you guys, I forget how young you guys are. You were just kids when he was doing what he did. And, you know, us as fans just saw those amazing things, just something jaw-dropping each and every week. But have you had conversations with guys who are from that era at all about Sean?
The only person I really have gotten to talk to about playing against him or with him was Fitz. And I'm not trying to throw Fitz's age out there, but I remember Fitz was telling some stories.
He was in his prime then.
He was only in his 11th year, I think, when Sean was drafted.
That's crazy. That's really crazy when you think about it, you know what I mean? So shout out to Fitz. I mean, you just saw all that Fitz talked about, just the tenacity in which he played with, his ability to cover, his ability to stop the run. It was just nothing he couldn't do. And if you really think about how that would translate in today's game, I think he would be one of the top safeties in today's game. And he was doing that back in a different type of era of offense and defense. So he was just a rare talent and person playing that position.
9 years old, about 12 years old, Sean Taylor's career was Terry McLaurin's age. So it's interesting to think about that. Grant and Danny here on The Fan, Terry McLaurin joining us for a couple of more moments. I wanted to look ahead to Green Bay with you for a second, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Have you already studied them at all and what they do on defense, or when will you really ramp up your prep on them?
Yeah, today is more so we just get in the building and, try to get our legs back, recovery, lifting, and reviewing the game. So we reviewed the film from yesterday's game and kind of try to clean up those corrections. And then tomorrow we're off, and, I try to take the evening time and try to get a look at the corners that we'll be playing against. And Wednesday is really our first install day of the week where we start, going in on first and second down, get the personnel, get kind of see what they look like on defense. So, you kind of gain more and more detail over the course of the week, but I try to get a jump start and at least take a look at who I'll be going against, on Tuesday.
With a little bit of off time that you allow yourself, where maybe you're getting that massage, you can maybe watch something on the iPad or something like that. Mm-hmm. You binging anything new? Any new shows?
Obviously Squid Games is popular.
That's what I wanted to ask you about.
I checked that out. That's probably the biggest show that I had watched.
You like
recently.
It?
How far in are you?
I finished.
You finished?
I don't want to give any spoilers.
Okay.
But that ending. But
rank it on let's go 1 to 17 for Terry McLaurin.
17 is the best, obviously.
1 to 17.
Yeah.
Honestly, for as much as it was hyped, I'm not saying it's not the number one show in America, because I think it's a really good show. It's a different, unique concept that you don't really see on TV right now or any type of streaming device. So I think that was very unique in the concept of how they went about the Squid Game and all that stuff, kind of like the history behind it. But I kind of, out of 17, I'd probably give it like a 12, 13. I like the action part of it, but kind of just the explanation behind the ending was kind of just throwing me off. So I've been kind of researching a little bit to kind of get a little bit more explanation.
He's on like Reddit.
I love it. Oh yeah. Deep diving.
He's like deep diving on it.
Yeah, man. I gotta understand what was going on. So I kind of understand a little bit of it, but hopefully they maybe either, come out with a season two, but I don't know. That was a good show. I think that's one of those shows you may leave on like just one season. So we'll have to see what happens.
Lambeau Field. You played there the once. Is it the same in football as it is in baseball, where if you're going to like Fenway or one of these iconic stadiums like Wrigley Field, that means a lot to be in that ballpark to young players? Do you get any juice out of Soldier Field or Lambeau Field or not really?
It's history. I think if you love the game of football, you can appreciate the history of this game. And obviously they're a great organization and the famous Coach Lombardi and everything like that. So I think when you go, my first time going there, it's like, wow, you're really at Lambeau. I think I've watched numerous games on TV of the Packers and things like that. But when you're in the atmosphere, you kind of get a feel of, what it's like. And the fans are surrounded kind of like in a bowl and they have bleachers. Like, you don't really see that a lot in 2021 stadiums that still have those college style bleachers. And they have that. And their fans are really passionate. It's like one hotel that all the away teams stay at, and it's a football town. So you can just feel like the vibe of what makes that place special. And, I was fortunate enough to play there my rookie year, and I think it would be cool to play there again.
Terry, good luck this weekend, man. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you on Monday next week, bud. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir, fellas. Thank you guys so much. I'll catch you next week.
Thanks,
keep
Terry.
Grinding, man. We appreciate you. Terry McLaurin on Grant and Danny. I thought about just saying, hey, Terry, don't leave us. I know the grass is greener. I know that other teams have money and you can go catch passes from real quarterbacks. and you can play in organizations where you have a chance to win, you listen to me right now. Don't you even think about leaving us. Don't you even think about it.
I mean, that popped
but
me.
I decided not.
You decided not to do that. We can save that for later in the season. I was going to say week 10.
end of the season, I'll just spend 19 minutes begging him to stay here.
Please.
Sign an extension to be underthrown and overthrown a bunch. Do the thing that Juju Smith-Schuster did. And he's out for the year now. But do the thing where you have all these options and then you decide to come back to play with a terrible quarterback and to be underutilized for an extended look with Pittsburgh. Just stay here.
I get the sense, and tell me if you think I'm wrong on this. I get the sense he was probably open for some stuff and just didn't get the ball.
Well, he's the nicest guy in the world. Yeah. His exact quote was, "We were beating," I'm going to read this as him, the way he said it, and then I'm going to tell you what it means.
Grant McLaurin.
"We were beating the cloud coverage. We were getting the one-on-one opportunities. We just didn't connect." That's what he said. Now, here's what that actually translates to. He wasn't alleging, he's not like trying to say this, but this is what actually happened. "I beat the coverages. I got one-on-ones, and they can't cover me one-on-one. The ball just didn't get to me." That's what that means. Mm-hmm. And it happened the week before, and it happened now, and that's the path to four catches for 28 yards for Terry McLaurin on eight targets. By the way, eight targets is not enough.
Not enough.
That should be 12, and four catches is about five too few, and 28 yards is about 90 too few. But that's what happens when you underthrow and you overthrow. You just can't get them the football. All right, let's go game balls to the best, gassers to the worst next. 800-636-1067 if you want to hop in. Who gets your game ball? Who gets your gas? Or you're listening to The Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, time for game balls, gassers. We normally start the show. You guys just had a lot to get off your chest. You basically, before we even threw out the number, were waiting on hold to just scream about yesterday.
And we appreciate that.
Absolutely. We're here for you. A little therapy. So now let's get to our regularly scheduled breakdown of the game. Best will celebrate with game balls, worst with gassers. 800-636-1067 if you want to participate. If you missed Terry McLaurin, we just had 20 minutes with a stud on the field and on the phone. He's the best. Podcast, the interview, thefandc.com, and we're done. GrantandDanny.com/audio, where you can rewind with your thumb. Just toggle back right now on the Odyssey app. All right, Darius, give me a game ball, please, to get this thing started. J.D. McKissic was fantastic, continues to be really good. He might be their most complete back right now. That doesn't mean he should get more carries than Antonio Gibson. I just think in terms of blocking, catching, and running, I think he's the most complete back on the roster. A career high for him with well over 100 yards yesterday all-purpose. He ran for 45. He rushed for 45, and he had 65 receiving. So all told, 110 yards on 16 touches for him. 8 carries, 8 catches. I thought he was awesome. I think he's underutilized. The more he's involved, the better. I like his game a lot, and good things happen when he's got the rock.
Ricky Seals-Jones, he's made an impact. I don't know how great a blocker he is, and I think maybe teams kind of know what's coming when he's on the field. He's not one of those tight ends that can do everything, but he can catch the football and move with it, and that's important. You saw him get behind the defense, catch long touchdown, but, you know, that's a blown coverage. So I look sort of the down in, down out type stuff. Good hands. He had a tough catch in traffic last week, if you recall. 4 for 58 with that long of 39, but he's moving around making plays. They need other weapons besides Terry McLaurin to step up, because right now teams are paying attention to 17 and 17 alone. So you need the McKissicks. You need the RSJs. I kind of just went with that. I hope that's okay if we initialize, because it's a lot to say the full thing, just like it's a lot to say Washington football team. And please pick any plural noun immediately so I'm not embarrassed anymore. But RSJ, nice little ball game.
John Allen, I thought he was really good again. By the way, the defensive front in the first half was solid. They got pressure with four in a way that we've been hoping for and wanting, and did so fairly consistently, where Mahomes was contained within the pocket, and it's not like they got off the field or they were getting stops. They weren't able to, but they were at least harassing him and occasionally into some rush decisions or a little bit of timing off where maybe the ball goes through Tyreek Hill's hands because it got on him a little quicker than he wanted on an out route, or, you know, Mahomes makes the terrible decision when he's got someone draped around his legs. But I thought their best pass rusher was Jonathan Allen, and the numbers kind of bared that out from PFF. He had 7 pressures with 5 hurries and 2 hits on the quarterback. In case you're curious, pressures yesterday, Allen 7, Ioannidis 4, Payne 3, Sweat 3, and Chase Young had 2. I like John Allen's game a whole lot.
You already said his name. I'm going to give a game ball to Chase Young. 2 straight games with a sack. You do that once a week, you end up among the league leaders. He was 0-for the first 4 games, but had an impactful play where he beat his man, went around, and hit Pat Mahomes. It was a team sack. It's not just one individual thing that happened on that plays, but that's the nature of sacks. That's the nature of hitting the quarterback. If you do that once a week, you start to end up in those conversations that people were prematurely having about him. But he had an impact in this game.
Taylor Heinicke's been really good 2 times. Started 5 games. He's been really bad 2 times. This was not in the really bad category, but this was in the below league average category. Against this defense, there's just too many things that got left on the field. A few of the throws to Terry McLaurin are a little better, and he has a much better day. But beyond that, Deami Brown did drop a touchdown that hit him in the hands on the corner, which was probably the best ball of the game from Heinicke. But you just can't leave chunks out there playing the Chiefs. And who knows? I mean, they might have been up 20-10 at halftime, and the game would have felt a whole lot different. There was not a single second yesterday when I thought they were going to win. Like, they were up 13-10 at the half, and it felt like they were down by 10 still. I don't know if you guys agree with that or not, but that's just in my mind how I thought the game was playing out. And I just didn't think Heinicke, who's at his best when he's scrambling and running and making plays, he didn't really do much of that yesterday. I didn't think he gave them kind of what he does best. If he just stands in the pocket and throws the football, Kyle Allen throws the ball better than him. Ryan Fitzpatrick probably throws the ball better than him.
I agree with that.
What Heinicke does better than those other guys, and the reason I am okay with him playing for the rest of the year, is that he's kind of out there creating, and he didn't do any of that yesterday really at all. There was one really cool play where he didn't get tackled. Everyone thought he did, and he was still running around.
Everyone else stopped.
By the way, that shouldn't be allowed because we're not allowed to like push quarterbacks because they might have thrown it a second ago, but now he's allowed to like be sitting on someone and keep playing and throw a ball 50 yards downfield. Now, if it happened against Washington, someone would have just been wide open behind the defense for a 90-yard touchdown.
Sure, Carson Wentz gets a touchdown on that play.
Exactly. Yeah. Tony Romo's done that twice. Instead, he came back up and everyone stopped playing and he had no one to throw to, so he got sacked right after that and had to throw the ball away as he was going to the ground. But gasser for Taylor Heinicke.
William Jackson, not only for the coverage and how comfortable opposing receivers and quarterbacks are with finding you and then finding their receiver to be very open, but the awareness, tackling, or lack thereof. Again, you're there by the sideline. You know where the first down marker is, or at least hopefully you should. You let Tyreek Hill get a full head of steam, and he came charging through you, and you just kind of gave him the ole like Roger Dorn at the beginning of Major League before Lou Brown won the team over. Oh, my God. That play, well, not the end-all, be-all. There were probably more impactful plays over the course of the game. No play to me was a greater microcosm of what ails this group. Even when they did something right, won on defense and forced a check down, they lost because they allowed a first down when 3 guys were there to try to tackle Tyreek Hill. They all just backed off because they were afraid to be put on a poster or a highlight or something like that or some gif where everyone's like, LOL, those guys lost their ankles on the field or something funny. Please step up and make an NFL football play. Don't be chicken bleep.
Kendall Fuller, he did have a pick, so that saved his day. but he dropped an interception as well that hit him right in the breadbasket. Hill falls down, opening drive. Mahomes throws a ball that hits Kendall Fuller quite literally in the numbers in the chest, and he dropped the interception. He was also, if you look at the PFF numbers, targeted and gave up completions, I think, on like 9 of 12 pass plays, something like that. Just wasn't pretty. It hasn't been in coverage for Washington for much of this year. You went Jackson, I went Fuller. You could throw Collins, or you could throw pretty much anybody
throw
else.
Throw a dart.
In that secondary.
And it would be complete, by the way, for a first down on third and long. Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Into the conversation. Let's go to Mark in Burke. Game balls and gassers, Mark. What's up, brother?
Hey, gentlemen. How are you guys doing today?
What's up, man?
Great.
Good, good. Hey, listen, I want to give a game ball to Terry because Terry is the only premier athlete I think we have on the offense besides maybe Antonio. And I also want to give one to Taylor because he's one of the only guys that overachieves given his talent level. He can't help it that he's not Brett Favre or one of these guys.
So you, I'm not joning, but basically you're giving him a game ball because
he's
not that talented, and he just played kind of okay / not very good.
Yeah, but don't we see like a lot of guys on the team that don't even like put forth effort? At least it looks like that way to me.
Yeah, I think they put forth effort, but I get your point. Like we pay guys a lot, or they're drafted high, and you don't get the production. I get it.
Right.
I get it.
And I'll tell you what, I'm going to give Gasser to the entire front office because I know that little Nevish called a meeting and he sat everybody down and he said, we're going to get the fans off our back by putting a Sean Taylor celebration. And it was a disaster and it was pathetic. And everyone who didn't stand up and say, this is the wrong thing to do and I don't care. You know, I'll take this on the chin, but you're not going to disrespect a dead man who honored this city like the way you're trying to do just to deflect. So screw them, screw the whole team, whole front office, and they can all run gassers, but they're not capable of it, which is even better because they'll drop dead.
Settle down. Whoa. Over there, guy.
That escalated quickly.
We don't need anybody to drop dead here.
It went from sunshine, like recording Taylor Heineke for trying hard, to like, yeah, maybe these guys will collapse from wind sprints.
That's how it works, though, yeah. Minus him being willing to just have everyone keel over from his gassers. You liked something yesterday, you give it a game ball. Say Ricky Seals-Jones' touchdown call from Scott Turner. I thought that was an awesome play design and an awesome call.
Really did like that one.
You hate something, give it a gasser. Like Ron Rivera kicking field goals. He's playing checkers when Andy Reid's playing chess. You're not beating Kansas City with field goals. And oh, by the way, punting on fourth down from his own 45 with 9 minutes to go down by 11 to give Mahomes the ball back. I just will never understand. Game balls, gassers, Grant and Danny on the Fan. The bloom a bit off the rose with Taylor Heineke. You could say maybe he's a victim of just frustration of everything else, but fact is, last four games for Heineke, he played one really good game against the Falcons, and otherwise he's played two terrible games and just a not very good one. The two terrible games against good defenses and the super disappointing game yesterday against an awful defense. But if you look at the last four games, remember scoring is way, way up in the league.
Yes.
Everyone's scoring basically upper 20s. Washington's averaging 20 points. He's averaging about 230 yards. And in those four games, he's got 6 touchdowns and 5 picks.
This is now last year's offense again. They had a couple spikes where they were playing well, 2 of 3 games at one point, right? When you go Atlanta, you go the Giants, and then, you know, the game in between, you go, okay, there's some improvement here. But now with Curtis Samuel out for an extended period of time, no Logan Thomas, we're sort of back in this rut, right? Where there's just not much playmaking. There's not much talent there on that side of the ball. The line, I think, has held up pretty damn well.
And that's where I'll push back some. I actually don't think it's last year's offense because I think receivers are open. I think there are explosive plays being made. I mean, they had a huge touchdown yesterday where it could have gone for 95 yards. There's nobody around. Like, it was just an awesome design, awesome scheme. I think it's The last couple weeks, I think it's been quarterback issue, to be completely honest with
you. Yeah, and I think it was, by and large, last year, too.
That's fair.
Held back. So I'm just looking in terms of production. You're basically now in that rut of, it's 20 a game.
Yeah.
Good luck defense, you know? And if you have a terrible defense, which they now do, that's how you lose your four games by a combined 55 points.
Let's go to Buffy in Burtonsville and Grant and Danny. What's up, Buffy? How are you?
Hey, good. Thanks for taking my call. Listen, I'm a fan, so if I come across as a bit callous, just because I'm a fanatic. I was at the game yesterday. My gasser goes to the organization, but more specifically, Julie Donaldson and Jason Wright. I think they've been given way too much leeway. I think this is a pivotal moment for them. Either they step forward and say they're used and abused, or the part of the problem. So that's my gasser. I give my game ball to that rookie linebacker, Davis, just because
Jamin Davis
had some tackles.
Yeah, made some tackles.
Yes.
So, I mean, you know, if we're going through growing pains with him, but he's making tackles, I can take that. But listen, bottom line is this. If you're not Alvin Walton, Ken Coffey, Mark Murphy, didn't bring me Lombardi's, you're not very high on my list. I don't get much emotional about, you know, people in the past. He was a, you know, terrific player, but you got to bring me Lombardi. I'm all about Lombardi. You know, every year I go into the season demanding one thing only, and that's a Lombardi. If you don't bring it to me, like I said, I'm a fan. In 72, I don't got time. Well, I shouldn't say time for you, but you don't make that upper list with me.
I love this bit. This, like, tough guy, like, you ever given me a Super Bowl? You mean nothing to me. I mean, he's shucking and jiving like he's calling into WEEI over there.
I love it.
Like, this is just Boston, and we win championships here. They haven't won a playoff game in 15 years. This
would you prefer to win your playoff, to clinch the World Series at home or on the road? Give us a call.
I mean, they can't win a playoff game. Lombardi? Well, what's the Jim Moore line? Lombardi? We can't even win a game. This guy. I love that call. I don't know what Julie has to do with. I mean, I guess his point is, like, all the new people. Maybe that's what he's saying. You know, because we'll mention Julie with Jason occasionally. Like, oh, they brought in Julie and Jason. And they'll, you know, we'll rattle off a bunch of names that came in. Doesn't mean they're involved in all the things we're always complimenting, but that's kind of the new culture, so to speak.
Yeah, they're the public-facing people that we know. I don't know, like, I don't even know the guy's name, is my point. I don't even know Dave Mishievsky, who's, like, running game day operations with a headset on down on the field. I have no idea who that is. Here are the public folks that they've trotted out, as if to say, look, everyone, it's all different now. Those are the two folks.
Jacob in Mount Vernon on Grant and Danny. How are you?
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Great.
What's up, man?
I've been a long time listener. You know, I've listened to you when you were a beat reporter. I listened to Dan when he was with Fulton. You know what I mean?
Yeah, bud.
You know, y'all are the only reasons I even like this team anymore. Like, seriously, like, the updates and stuff y'all give me. I mean, we got a team 30 minutes up the road. Kids got more wins than our whole organization has, and the whole time Dan Snyder's been the owner. You know what I mean? I went to the game yesterday just because for Sean Taylor. You know what I mean? He meant a lot to me. He was one of my favorite players. That's the only reason I went. Me and my brother went. I called him 8 o'clock in the morning, got him to go. But, you know, I like to give my game ball to Andy Reid for making a beautiful halftime adjustment. And I like to give the gasser to just the whole Washington football team organization. You know, I am a Redskins fan. I'm not a Washington football team. They took that from me. So yesterday was the last thing that they did, how they could just tarnish Sean Taylor's legacy for a guy to be in the league for 4 years to make a dramatic impact on the whole NFL, on the whole organization, on future players coming into the NFL. For them to do that, they might as well just announce a new name change yesterday. It was ridiculous. And I'm fed up with it. I'm sad. You know what I mean? It's emotional. You know what I mean? It makes
me,
like,
I know exactly what you mean, man.
Every week.
We appreciate you stick with us, bro. I mean, it means a lot, because I think what a lot of people do is they shut down, and next thing you know, you know, we lose them. So that means a ton to us that you keep on listening and grinding.
Yeah, we're just
it.
Talking about your ex-girlfriend every day on the radio.
Right, exactly. You're just looking at pictures of when you were happy, basically. Having that internal nerves and anxiety and those butterflies of, like, man, I wish I didn't have to watch her go out on this date. But appreciate you suffering through it with us. We're all in this thing together. Let's go to Mitch in Fredericksburg on the Fan. Hey, Mitch.
What's up, Mitch?
Hey, what's going on, Greg, Dan? Love the show, man.
Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Oh, man, y'all, just like the last caller said, man, y'all keep me enthusiastic about this team. But, man, I want to give my gasser to Ron Rivera, looking crazy on the sideline, clueless, and the whole front office. And I would love to give my game ball to the Greg and Danny show for making up that song. Guys. Could you please play that song one
more time? That's
Mitch,
a request.
Well, Mitch, who that's do you want to... You got to do this like, you know, like we're on a music station. So who do you want to send it out to? Tell us who you're dedicating the song
pretend
to.
It's nighttime with Delilah, and you want to send some love to somebody.
Who do you want to send it to?
I want to dedicate this beautiful song out to Ron Rivera and his putrid coaching staff.
Try not to bob your head. You can't.
Can't not.
Well, you guys really want to go there, don't you?
Oh, yeah, we do, Coach.
Let's go.
Guys. Well, you guys really want to go there, don't you? Guys.
Everybody!
Darius, are you cooking anything else up? I mean, this was such a smashola.
People are wondering where the follow-up is.
By the way, that was fire. He threw that together in like 20 minutes. And it really is just incredibly
much
good.
Like many of the popular songs today.
Much like a halftime celebration of one of the great players in history.
I first got to say I'm flattered by all the response from everyone. I do appreciate it.
You know why? Because it's a smash.
It is.
Thank you. Guys. I also do want to give some credit to Richmond John. He was the one who originally proposed the idea.
Oh, all right.
So credit John. To Richmond
producer
John.
Producer credit. Gets a little love.
Absolutely.
Look at you giving producer credit.
Yeah, I think I'll have to hook up with Richmond John. We'll see if we can figure out some other ways we can get this album going.
I mean, you got to capitalize on the momentum here. And I smell some opportunities coming.
Ooh.
I smell some ammunition that could be coming your way, like, from the good guys.
We come up with a few song ideas. Another one is I just came up with. It's Just Two Plays.
That's a good one.
As the name of a track. It's Just Two Plays.
I think that's actually really good.
Right?
Another good one would be Jamin Davis was a good pick at number 19. You could find a way to work that into a song. He made 11 tackles, guys. Didn't you see that? 11 tackles. You saw that. Now, none of them were in the backfield or at the line of scrimmage, but he did make 11 tackles.
We can go back and look at a September 28th press conference where Ron Rivera said he wanted Taylor Heinicke to be more of a game manager. That's nice. You got a nice little sports car you want to drive in reverse around the cul-de-sac. That's a smart thing.
It's just tough because I don't want to be Mambo number 5, you know? I don't want to be a one-hit wonder.
No,
I want to smash after smash.
No Chumbawamba by Tub Thumping or vice versa. Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba?
Yeah, Chumbawamba.
Which one's the band?
Chumbawamba's the band.
Okay, that's not you, Darius. You're better than that.
Well, thank you.
We need another hit, and the people are demanding it now. So you got to get working on this. In the meantime, you can just keep playing that smashola for sure. There's also the July 27th comment where Curtis Samuel's completely fine, and he was on PUP for precautionary reasons.
Don't you suggest surgery is a track.
That could be a good track. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. You got a game ball, you got a gas, so we can hit those next. Ryan was at the game. I want to get his experience in the crowd. And if you guys were at the game, let's hear from you in terms of just your overall experience and what you thought of everything that took place at FedEx on Sunday. You're listening to The Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.